Earlier in the year, I finished my sermon with this verse of scripture in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to underline it, and I'll probably underline it more than once before I finished. Jesus is coming back to take us to heaven. The world scoffs, but we wait eagerly. Amen. Have you ever thought about heaven? I'm sure you must have, in various circumstances and for various reasons. Do you know, many people think in their mind that they're going to heaven. But in reality, according to the Word of God, people are only going to heaven if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they've been born again, according to John chapter 3, which was emphasized quite clearly by the Lord Jesus himself. Naturally, an egg and a sperm are needed for a person to be born naturally, to make them ready for earth. The Word of God and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit are needed for a person to be born spiritually, to make them ready for heaven. Now, I don't know why, over the years, theologians, let's point the fingers at ourselves, theologians have made this thing so complicated, but when you look at it like that, it's comparatively simple, isn't it? My wife, Ruth, was many years ago, as a girl, she was going up to bed. She was halfway up the stairs, going up to bed. When this thought came to her, if I die tonight, will I go to heaven? Even though she had been brought up in a Christian home and been dedicated to the Lord as a little baby, still that thought came, if I die tonight, will I go to heaven? So she went back down the stairs and told her mum and dad, I think it was her dad, that led her to know the Lord Jesus and accept the Lord Jesus as her Saviour. Now, the Bible makes it clear, according to some of these Bible verses, that there are three heavens. I keep turning round because it's quite a long time since I did this kind of thing, because for the last few years I've been looking after Ruth, so I've been kind of on the back burner. But the Bible makes it clear that there are three heavens. The atmospheric heaven, and I think I may have got one missing, but let's go through them. The atmospheric heaven. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven here speaks of the skies and the clouds we can see. In Isaiah 55, he mentions there, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven. Then we have the stellar heavens. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And then in Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I consider your heavens, etc. This second heaven begins beyond what we can see. In other words, outer space. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then there's the third heaven, where God dwells, where his throne is. I don't know whether it's on this. We'll come to that in a minute, all right? But the third heaven is where God is. In Isaiah 6 and verse 1, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then in Acts chapter 7, in that account of the stoning of Stephen, the Bible says, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This is the place where God reigns and resides. Some people have called it paradise. But I believe it's the place where born-again Christians are going to, according to John chapter 14 and the words of Jesus, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's a Greek word called topos, and it's from where we get the English word topography, meaning a place of habitation, and the word city is derived from it. It's a real place. It's not utopia, as some people think. The Greek for you or uo is no in English. And if you add that to the Greek word topos, what do you have? No place. So utopia is no place. We're not going to a utopian wherever. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. I didn't have that word hallelujah in my notes, but I thought I'd include it. In Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, in the Father's house. And that's a special description. And it's intimate, because after all said and done, according to the scriptures, we are God's children, aren't we? And Jesus is going to take us there. Excuse me. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus said, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Do you know, in geographical terms, I don't know the latitude or the longitude of heaven, but I don't know where it is, you know. Do you? I know where heaven is. Oh, it's easy, really. It's up. According to the Bible, in John 17, Jesus lifted his eyes up to heaven. Mark 6:41, he looked up into heaven. Luke 24:50 and 51, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Ephesians 4:10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. And in Revelation 22, the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And you know, that's the heaven we're going to. Now, like you, and myself as well, I've heard people say things like heaven will be boring. And I think maybe they base it on various reasons. And I've put one or two of them down here. You know, I don't believe that heaven will be boring because God will be there. Do you know, the science fiction writer Isaac Asimov said, and listen to this, "For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." Hey. He'd obviously not read about the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus spoke about in the parable, had he? Some people I've heard say, well, it'd be like a never-ending church service. And then others have said, well, everyone will be dressed in white, sitting on clouds and playing harps. Others have said, keeping the streets of gold clean. And so it goes on. So many things that people have said, but the question is, will heaven be boring? I don't believe it will, because God will be there. And he's not boring. He's creator, sustainer, provider, the source of everything. Do you know, I've often looked around on this earth, maybe with blinkers on at the time, not at the conflicts and the turmoil and the trouble and the problems, but looked at what God has created on this earth of ours for us to live in and to enjoy. And I've often thought to myself, as I appreciate it all down here and wonder so often at new things that I'm seeing each year of my life, I think to myself, what then will the new heaven and earth be like? I mean, you just can't kind of somehow get it into your mind, can you? And then Jesus will be there. And he's not boring. Do you know, I'd love to have been around when Jesus was with his disciples. Because I'm sure that on many occasions, it was almost like he was taking the mickey out of them. I say that in a advisedly way, as it were. But I'm sure that these guys had to record what Jesus said. And I'm sure they kind of, sometimes didn't say that things like Jesus was having a laugh with us. But that's just my thoughts. But Jesus is not boring. Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Think of some of the things he did and said with regards to heaven whilst he lived on this earth. He spoke about the kingdom of heaven. He gave us his pattern of prayer, our Father who art in heaven. His parables about heaven and the future. Hereafter, he said in Luke 22, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. In John 1:51, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. John 3, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Hebrews 6:7, Jesus, our great high priest, is in heaven. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So what is Jesus doing in heaven now, apart from praying for us? Well, he said himself, he's preparing a place in that mansion. Now, I know, according to what Jeff said earlier in the year, Jeff prefers the word mansion, and so do I. I'll tell you why. I grew up living in a little end terraced house in a place called Halstead Place in Bradford in Yorkshire. A long terrace of back-to-back houses where the Yorkshire stonework was blackened by the soot from the mill chimneys. So, for me, I don't want to live in a place again. If you understand my meaning, I want to live in a mansion, and I believe that Jesus is preparing a mansion for us, and he wants us to be there with him. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Do you know, we'll be there, and we won't be boring. No more boring preachers. Mankind will never find heaven with telescopes, star charts, or space probes. According to the Bible, we can only find heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There'll be no tiredness, no illness, no death. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to share and care, just to be there in where everything is beautiful and perfect in heaven. In the meantime, there's a lot of pruning and preparation and shaping going on in our lives until Jesus comes, and we mustn't ignore that. I remember many, many years ago, just a little story of a stonemason who was working on one of our big cathedrals. And down in the cathedral courtyard area where they were doing stuff, he was chipping away at a stone. And this person who saw him, he watched him for a while, then he went off. I think it could have been York or somewhere, and he went off and did some chopping and whatever. And 2 or 3 hours later, he came back, and the stonemason was still chipping away at this same piece of stone. So the man, he said, how come it's taking you so long to chip away at that stone? He said, well, it's quite simple, really. He said, I'm shaping it down here so that it will fit in up there. That always makes me emotional because I think, well, Lord, you're still doing a lot of chipping in my life, but we mustn't ignore that. I want to fit in up there, don't you? And then, don't laugh at this one. I don't know what I've pressed it, but our friends and relatives are going to be there, of course, and they won't be boring. Jesus said that there's going to be an innumerable company of angels, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, and so on and so on. And then our worship and praise and active service won't be boring. Constant praising will be going on. Service and servant are key words in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, John describes himself as a servant. Revelation 7:15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Revelation 22, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will serve him. So it's going to be a place of worship, praise, and active service, and it's not going to be boring. It's going to be something, I was going to say, out of this world. But it will be, won't it? Hallelujah. So, what is heaven like? We don't really know and we don't fully understand, because in Corinthians the Bible says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Just remember these important truths about heaven. It's glorious. According to what you read in the book of Revelation, it's perfect. It's joyous. It's an active place. And you know something? And I say this very lovingly, and I don't want it to sound abrasive or anything like that. It's a certainty for all those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you trusted him? Have you asked him to forgive you? Have you repented of your sins? Do you know his peace and joy in your life? Do you have the hope of eternity? It's a certainty for all those who know Jesus as their Saviour. I used to sing a little chorus in Sunday School, Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with his glory and grace. I'm going to see my Saviour's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. And somebody said that if you combined the eternal life that's mentioned in John 14 with the abundant life that's mentioned in John 10, you have heaven. Jesus is coming soon. How do we know? There are signs everywhere you look, aren't there? Material, economical, geographical, spiritual, political. Today, throughout the world, evil seems to have the upper hand in every walk of life. Do you know when Jesus said those words in John 14, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. It was one of those defining moments in the whole of his ministry. We must not forget that Jesus is coming back. So let's make sure we're ready. People will still say, where's the promise of his coming? But we need to remember John 14. Where is the promise of his coming? Well, the promise is right there in the Bible in John 14. The words of Jesus himself, if I go away, I will come again. Amen. Do you know, I've nearly finished, so that's good. On the 27th of July this year, the evening that the England women's football team were playing Spain in the Euro 25 final, I arrived at church. And I was greeted by Mike, who had his England top on. And he leaned into me like this and he said, England are already 1-0 down. And I leaned into him and I said, but things could change. And they did, you know, because later that evening, England were triumphant, weren't they? Do you know, dear people here today, we firmly believe that that things will change when Jesus comes for his church. According to the Bible, it's not a matter of might, could, or maybe they will change. Praise God. If you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. What we think about heaven determines how we live today. Back in my teens, I remember my mid to late teens with a young people's group that I was involved in. Even though I say it myself, we were, as they used to say, we were on fire for God. We wanted to go out there and save the world. We were keen, went to all the different church services that were going. We did what was called coffee bar evangelism, all of that kind of thing. And I remember during those years, somebody once said to me, do you know, John, you're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. And that upset me. And I wondered sometimes whether, in those days, whether sometimes people were too earthly minded to be of any heavenly use. Maybe I was a bit judgmental, but that's what I thought. I'm being honest. Let's live now as we'll be living then. Amen? Always thanking the Lord for his love and his goodness, praising him, worshipping him, looking forward to his coming. And finally, I just say this. This is a true story of a female swimmer over in America. I can't remember the exact place, but she was swimming between two headlands, 26 miles apart. And it was a rough area of sea and whatever. And she started swimming. She was going for hour after hour after hour. But then, she didn't know it, but she gave up swimming less than a mile from the other headland. Less than a mile. Because for a good part of the swim, a fog came down, a mist and a fog. She couldn't see where she was going. She was having to be guided by the support boat, who had a kind of a radar, and she was guided that way. And when she got into the support boat, this is what she said. She was so upset. She said, "If I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." My dear friends, here today, by faith, we can see heaven. So keep going. Amen? Amen. Keep going. For the non-Christian, sadly, the worst is still to come. But for the Christian, praise God, the best is yet to come. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so grateful that we can read these various scriptures about what you've promised. Yeah, we could say we don't deserve any of it. We're only sinners saved by grace, but it's incredible and amazing what you have promised us and what you are preparing for us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to keep going and help us to trust you day by day. Amen.
Amen.